if you would, to the book of John, the 8th chapter of the book of John. And the message was entitled, Jump In, Climb Out. It was the title of the message. And the whole thought behind the message was that sin and a life of sin and a life of struggle and a life of selfishness and a life of living for ourselves rather than living in the principles of the Word is easy to jump into, but it is hard to climb out of. And we're gonna go through that. It's not easy. It's not hard to come to life. There is only one way that we come from death to life, and we are saved and we are made new creatures, and that is in Christ Jesus. And so right now in the church culture in our world, there has been a move that sometimes has taken us away from what I want to talk to you about. And we have so focused on the moment of salvation and the grace that it takes to come to that moment of salvation, that moment of saving grace. How many know there's no other name given by where men could be saved but the name of Jesus? Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. There's no other way to be saved but by and through Jesus and His sacrifice and His atonement. And when we believe in our hearts and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, what does the Word tell us? The Word tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, when we believe and confess, then we are saved. Okay? But what happens after the salvation experience? And sadly, in a lot of ways, the church culture of our day right now is not dealing so much with that. I'm not saying every church, I'm not saying every place, but I'm saying a predominant theme of our culture is just to lead people to an experience of salvation and then kind of drop them off there and just say, well, now you're saved, you live by grace and by faith, and you just live through Christ, and everything's going to be great, when the reality is we are faced with some difficulties. Sometimes those difficulties come from prior or previous lifestyles and decisions that we made. Sometimes those difficulties in life come from decisions we continue to make that are contrary to the Word of God. And sometimes it is difficult because we don't submit fully to Christ and we still have things that are in our life that we need to deal with. And so this message was dealing with that. It's easy to jump in to sin, but there is a climbing out of that that we need to understand how to come out of, and we need to understand that there is a battle that is involved there. And so that's what we're going to talk about. John chapter 8, verse 31, here's what the Word says to us. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him. So John 8, 31, He's talking to those who believed Him. If you abide in My Word, if you stay, if you dwell, if you make your home in My Word, you are My disciples indeed or truly. So if you are in My Word, you are My followers, this is true. And you shall know the truth. Why? Because you're in My Word. So if you're in My Word, you will know the truth. This is what Jesus is saying. And the truth shall make you free. Now, He's talking to those who have believed in Him. They've believed that He is who He says He is. They believe, but he says something to them that we just kind of bypass. And He says, if you stay and remain in My Word, you will be My disciples. A disciple is one that is learning from someone. You will be My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's very important that you catch the significance of what Jesus is saying. And so they answered Him. And they said, they were Jewish people. And so they said, well, now, we are descendants of Abraham. And we've never been in bondage to anyone. That's an odd saying in and of itself, but I don't want to get bogged down there, because at the very time they're saying that, they are living subservient to Rome. So Rome is the ruler of their region. So at the very time they're saying that, they're contradicting themselves. But they say, how can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So I'm going to talk to you, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper tonight into this concept of freedom, of living free, of a life that is free. And in order to live a life that is free to pursue Christ and to live in the fullness of the Word, in order to live in that life of freedom, there are battles that we must understand and that we must overcome. And so that's what we're going to look at a little bit. I'm going to make a couple of statements that I made Sunday, and then we're just going to go into the points a little bit more and dig into those. One decision and you are free. That decision is to accept Christ as your Savior, and you're free from the debt of sin. But living in that freedom, Jesus says, takes an understanding of the truth. Amen. One decision to follow Christ, and you're free from the debt of sin. You're brought alive. You're now free in Christ. But to live in this freedom, you need an understanding of the truth. And so there is truth that we must understand. It's easy to come to life because Christ made the way for that, but it is difficult to come out of the patterns of death. Amen. Now see, we might not want to admit some of these things, but these are really where we live. It's easy to come to life because that just simply is, I believe you, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, and I'm brought to life. But it can be difficult to overcome the patterns of the old life. How many of you would agree with that statement? I don't know about you, but when my salvation experience, I came to Christ and I felt free and I felt His love and I knew I was saved. But I did not get up. I came to Christ at an altar. I did not get up from that altar. I was changed when I got up. But I did not get up from there and walk out and never have any more struggles with the old patterns of my life. Maybe there are some that have those occurrences. I've heard of people and know people who had certain addictions and things in their life, and they got saved, and then when they got, they had no more desire and those type of things. But even the people that I know that have that as their testimony had other obstacles that they had to work their way through. Okay? So that is a reality of life, but the Lord doesn't leave us alone. He gives us truth to understand so that we can walk in the freedom that we now have been given. And we don't talk about this very much in the church. We just kind of bypass some of the tough issues, and we, in some ways, we make people feel like if they still struggle or if they still are finding some things difficult to overcome old patterns of their life, that then somehow the salvation they received was deficient. Because we look around and none of us want to admit that there are still things that we might struggle with from that old nature. And so we oftentimes will pretend that we have no struggles and we'll hide those from one another. And then we make people feel like, well, if I still have some old patterns that I'm struggling with, then somehow what I received wasn't as good as what they got. Okay? And that's just not true. We all struggle with things. We all have battles that we must overcome. But there are realities to these battles that if we will understand them, that we can live lives of freedom. So while it is true there are old patterns to overcome, it is also true Christ has prepared a way for us to live free from those battles. So we can't use that as an excuse any longer. We have to develop an understanding of the truth so that we can live in freedom. So that concept is what just grabbed me. And the first thing that we talked about that we'll dig into a little bit more tonight is the concept that there is a spiritual minefield. that has to be navigated. There are minds that have been set out. The enemy will set things in our path. Our old lives, drop down minds and destructive patterns in our life that we have to navigate by the Word and by the Spirit and by Christ, that we have to navigate beyond. How many of you would be brave enough to admit you have struggled with things in your life since you were saved that stem from things in your life before you were saved? Okay? Those are minds that are dropped down. And that's why I said Sunday, this is why it's important that we share this message and we understand this message, because the quicker we catch this, the quicker we understand this, the quicker we come to salvation, and the quicker we learn truth, so the less minds we set down on ourselves. Okay? The enemy will try to distract us, but it's those distractions that I put in my own path that are the most frustrating to me. Okay, and so there is a spiritual minefield. And so the enemy is trying, and our own flesh even, will try to abort life before it begins. So we come to Christ, we accept Him as our Savior, we leave whatever situation we're in, wherever you come to Christ, we leave there, and then we navigate through this minefield. Old things that we have done, habits that we have picked up, declarations that we have made, statements that now we have to live past, hurts that we have laid down, bitterness that we have held on to, anger that we have had a hard time letting go of, hatred. All of these things that are of our flesh are laid out there, but now we have new life, and so we have to walk a new way, and we've got to learn by the truth how to navigate through this minefield so that this life is not aborted before it has a chance to begin. Jesus told a parable, and he said, talked about a sower went forth to sow seed, and that seed fell in different places. Some of it fell by the wayside, and before it ever had a chance to get any roots whatsoever, the birds of the air came and picked it up, and before it ever had a chance to grow. Others fell on stony ground, and the roots went down a little bit, but they were very shallow roots, and as soon as it got hot, the grass withered away. Some fell on thorny ground, and the roots went down deep, but the thorns grew up with it and choked it out, the thorns of life, the problems of life. Other seed fell on good ground. The roots went down and it produced. Some 30, some 60, some 90-fold. It produced. See, so that tells me that what Jesus does for us is vital, but then what we do with what He's done for us is also important. Okay. So there's a minefield that we have to walk through. A minefield is the enemy's way to stop your victory. So I'm not trying to be negative, so please don't take it this way. I'm trying to be real with you, and I'm trying to cause us to open our eyes and understand that there is a battle you're engaged in. You need to realize that. If you our country is a great example. When we failed to realize that the enemy was at war with us, and we failed to realize that came from our government inquiries when they were looking into how did 9/11 happen, and the men went and people went and tried to study out why did this happen, why were we not aware, how could this have happened to us, and what they came back and said was our enemy was at war with us, but we did not recognize the war. We weren't prepared. And we've got a lot of Christians that have forgot that the enemy is at war with us. And if we do not recognize that there is a battle, and we are not prepared for the battle, and we are not prepared to win, then even though we have life, even though we have freedom, if we're not prepared for the battle, that freedom can be taken and aborted and damaged and injured. And that's what's happening in many lives today. Amen. Now, like I said Sunday, I know this isn't the most popular thing to teach and to preach on, but I think it might be one of the most vital topics that we could cover. Because we live in a world today where Christianity has become very shallow. Even by definition, it is no longer seen as life-altering, life-changing. It is seen as something that just comes alongside and makes life better. Do you know that's never what Christianity, following Christ, was never supposed to be that? It was not just something that you add to your life to make your life better. Amen? Christianity, following Christ, means a laying down of the old life and living in a new life. Living in a new life. Turn to someone and say, living in a new life. That's important that you understand the difference there. And so there's this battle. So we have to understand there's a minefield. There are mines set up. There are traps laid. There are tests laid. There are trials that you're going to go through. There are battles that you're going to have to fight. There are things that are going to come your way. And the first thing to overcome them is you have to be aware of that. Amen. And you have to take that battle seriously. When the enemy knows in a military battle, knows that the adversary is coming a certain way, they'll lay down mines. And the only way then you can get over to the enemy then is they have to send people out, first of all, to locate where the mines are and either detonate them or locate them so that you can navigate through that without them going off. And that's what we're trying to do a little bit tonight. I'm trying to get this in your mind first so that then when we look at the battles, you can understand, okay, I've got to engage in the battle. The first battle that you must engage in, if you're going to live in freedom, if you're going to make your way out of the battlefield that is laid before you with the life Christ has given you, the first battle that you must engage in is the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. You must engage in this battle, and you must win it. If you cannot win the battle of the mind, you will forever be running in to the traps the enemy has laid and that your own flesh has brought to you. Amen. That's why Paul writes, Romans 12, and he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed, but be transformed. The mind is vital to living in freedom. Your thought patterns are very important to living in freedom. Amen. Let me give you a scripture to back that up. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs 23, and one verse is what we're going to read, verse 7. And he says, verse 6 says, do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. But verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks, so is he. Your thoughts are vital. What you dwell on, what you think on, what you allow yourself to be inundated with is important. Here's some things to always remember when it comes to the battle of the mind, and I'm going to give you some ways to overcome this, but here's what you need to realize and recognize, and I'll share these. I hit a couple of these Sunday, but I want to hit a couple of these again and some others. When it comes to the battle of the mind, how many of you discovered that it is easy to drift? Okay? Mind drift is easy. Amen. I told them Sunday, those that were here, I said, how do you know if your mind has drifted? Well, if you're working on your grocery list right now while I'm saying this, your mind has drifted. Yeah. It's easy to fall into mind drift. It's easy to get distracted. Amen. Never forget this. It's easy to fall into temptation. It's easy. It's easy for your mind to drift and get distracted. It's easy for your thought patterns to go back to your old person, the old life, the old man before Christ. It's easy to drift. It's also very easy to rationalize and justify wrong behavior, wrong thinking. Amen. Is this all right with you? How many are brave enough to admit it's easy to justify and rationalize wrong thinking? It is. I see that all the time. Because if you don't agree with me and my way of thinking, you're wrong. And so I see how easy that is for you to fall into that. I'm just saying, if y'all were awake, I'm just joking there. It's easy, though, to justify and to rationalize your way of thinking, even if it doesn't line up with the Word. Amen. Battle of the mind is important. And that's how we get into the situations we get into. That's how things can spiral out of control, because we justify and we rationalize our way of thinking that is contrary to the Word. And that's easy to do. Because if it feels good to us, well, what can really be the harm in it? But if the Word says, don't think on those things, don't dwell in those ways, don't act in those ways, but yet it feels good to us, then there's the battle of the mind. We have to make a decision. Are we going to stay in the Word, or are we going to justify and rationalize our way of thinking? Now, again, I'm dealing with freedom. I'm talking about living in freedom that Christ has given. So you've got to guard against mind drift, and you've got to guard against rationalization and justifying thinking that is not in the Word. Amen. Well, I don't feel like this is going over very good, but that's all right. Just joking. Here's another thing it's easy to do. It's easy to sin. It's easy to miss the mark. It's easy to not be obedient to Christ. It's easy to fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. The Bible even says sin is enjoyable for a season. You mean? It is. I'll admit it to you. It's easy. And so therefore, we sometimes get into this mindset that just because it's easy, it's okay. But easy does not equal okay. It's the battle of the mind. Remember this. It's easy to drift. It's easy. You can give me all your reasons why your mind has drifted away from Christ and away from the Lord and away from His house and away from service and away from ministry and away from focusing on the Word. You can give me all your excuses, but really it boils down to drifting. Your mind has drifted. It's very easy to justify and rationalize thought processes that are not in the Word because, well, it feels good and don't seem to be harmful to people and all that. It's easy to just fulfill the lust of your flesh. That's easy. But it keeps you from freedom. And you're setting yourself up for failure. And you will forever be living in the old cycles of life if you don't win the battle for the mind. Okay? So, I also told you, and this is very true, this thought hit me, it's easy to fall. Have you noticed that? If I step off here, it's natural for my foot to fall. That's easy. Yeah, the gravity of the situation. It's easy to fall. But what I said, it's easy for me to just fall off of this. But what is a little more difficult is for me to try to stabilize myself. Amen? It's easy to just fall, but when you determine I'm going to stabilize my life, there's a little more effort involved in that. So we've got to begin to stabilize our life. And it doesn't mean that's always going to be easy. It's also difficult to step out sometimes in faith. It's difficult to stabilize. Falling is easy. It's difficult to step out in faith sometimes. Because to step out in faith, you have to overcome some statements you've made in the past. You have to overcome some decisions that you've come up with in the past. You have to overcome some damage that you've brought to yourself in the past. It becomes more difficult to step out in faith. But again, this is all tied to the battle of the mind. It's also difficult to admit you need help. Amen? We're very independent people. Most of us, and this is not everybody, most of us, it's hard to admit when we need help. I'm chief among us in that. It's hard to admit sometimes you need help. I was raised to be very independent. That's how I was raised. My dad raised me that way. Figure it out. Do it. Well, he was a paint contractor most of my life, so he was self-employed. That's all I knew most of my life. We were very independent. We didn't tell everybody else our business. We were self-sustaining, independent people. How many know that's hard to overcome sometimes? It's harder to admit you need some help sometimes. And so we get this mindset, well, I can do it. I'm able to. And instead of reaching out, we fall into the trap of thinking we can all do it ourselves because it's more difficult to admit we need help. Here's the thing about Christ. Christ made what is difficult for us doable. Amen. How many, you turn to someone right around you and tell them, what is difficult for you is doable through Christ. You need to hear that. See, because we fall into the trap again of, well, that's just hard, so we just avoid that. How many times as a pastor have I heard people say to me, I just can't do that. I can't do that. I've tried. I can't do that. I've heard that so many times. Said it myself many times. But Christ makes the difficult doable because Christ is the way. Here's what hit me in this. And this was a revelation to me. May not be to anybody else. I don't know. But to me it was. John 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. I don't know how many times I've read it. But the Lord just brought something out in this to me and in a new way. John 14, verse 6. Here it is. You'll know it as soon as I start saying it. Jesus is speaking and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the revelation that hit me in that is that putting this together, the Lord brought that out. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the Lord spoke to me this thought. Truth is the bridge between the way and life. Truth is the bridge that takes you from just knowing Jesus is the way and living in the life that he has provided for you. Truth is the way. Truth is the bridge. It bridges that. Jesus said, I am the way. And we know that he is the way. But we struggle because we can't seem to live the life. But truth is what's needed. And so we have to understand the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But truth is the bridge that brings us from he is the way to the life that he has prepared for us. And then in John 8 where I read to you, he said, the way you live in freedom is to know the truth. The truth that you know will set you free. So we need to put our minds to knowing the truth. Romans 8 and 6 tells us that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life in Christ Jesus. So to be carnally minded produces death. To be spiritually minded produces life. That's the truth. So our battle of the mind is that we have to set our mind on the truth. We have to set our mind to know the truth, to speak the truth, to understand the truth. We have to determine that we are going to live in the truth. It is a battle for your mind. Understand that. If you want to live in the fullness of what Christ has brought to you, you've got to win the battle of the mind. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Let me read this for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. He says, therefore, in verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That's a mental reaction. That he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. How many have heard that verse? Casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. And then 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But listen, verse 9, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Knowing. So be sober, be vigilant, be aware. There's a spiritual minefield. Be aware. And then win the battle for your mind. Know that everyone is going through these battles, but Christ is the way out of it. Set your mind on the truth of his word. Resist the mind drift. Resist the desire to rationalize and justify thinking that is unlike Christ and not in the word. Resist the easiness that leads us into sin. And know the truth. It is the truth that is going to set you free. I just... As I went home on Sunday, and I was just thinking over the message, and the thought kept coming to me, we've got to hear that. Know the truth. Win the battle of your mind. Set your mind. Colossians says, Paul writes to the church at Colossae, and he says, set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. You've got to win this battle. You've got to get in the Word. This is why it is so vital that we are in the Word. That we are learning the Word. Because we're learning the truth. It's so vital that we read the Word for ourselves. It's so vital that we sit and we hear messages and words and lessons that are Word-based. I could share with you all sorts of topics and things, and as a pastor, you do all of those things. But the Word is what is most necessary. Because the Word encapsulates truth, and the truth sets us free. So get in the Word. Don't read the Word with your interpretation. Read the Word and let it speak to you. Amen? Get in the Word. Know the Word, because it is there you will find your truth. And it's not easy to stabilize yourself, because falling is easy. But when you stabilize your mind on the Word, when you keep your mind upon the Word, amen, when you set out and are determined to learn what Jesus taught, to learn what the Word says, then you're going to begin to live in freedom. Before you can change your life, you have to change your mind. Amen. Let me say that again. Before you can change your life, your living, you've got to change your mind, your thinking. Because you and I both, we have old patterns of thought. We have old things that cloud our mind. We have old things that we've given into that now begin to clutter our mind. And you know how you declutter your mind from the things of this world and the old things of the past? By filling your mind with the new things of the Word. And that's a process. Amen. Are y'all with me? We're going to talk, and we won't do it this week, but next week we're going to talk about the battle of the flesh. And we're going to talk more about our weapons, the weapons of the Spirit. But you got, first thing we have to do is we have to recognize there's a battle, there's a minefield that we have to navigate if we want to live in freedom. And it all starts with the battle for our mind. And so if we need new thought patterns, then we got to go to a new place. You do not get new thought patterns from old places. You're not going to win the battle for your mind when you're constantly putting yourself back in your old life. It's not going to happen. The word is powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And so get in the word. Stay in the word. Don't drift. I'm not telling you got to read so much a day or anything like that, but the word needs to become a steady diet. How many of you have had to learn a new job? Anybody? You ever had to learn a new job? Right? So you had to change from one job to the next. How many of you have ever been in one job for a long time and then you started all over in another job that was totally different than the one you just left? Was that easy? Might have felt good because you was ready to get out of that thing. Okay. But it wasn't easy. What did you have to do? You had to dedicate to it. Right? You had to think your way about it. What used to come natural to you, you couldn't rely on anymore. Because that wasn't going to work now. Right? I mean, the way you used to naturally do things now, you got to think, okay, no, that's not how you do it. I got to do it this way now. Amen. It's the same way in your Christian walk. We have too many Christians that you give your life to Christ. We confess Christ as our Savior. We believe Him for salvation. But then we never change our thought patterns and we don't dedicate to this new way of living. And we try to bring the old things into this new way of living, and that's not going to work. Amen. And that's why Jesus was... He mesmerized people that he taught because they heard him saying things they'd never heard before. I mean, he came talking about preferring others above yourself, and he came talking about things that forgiving others multiple times if need be, and he came saying things that they had never heard before because it was a new way of thinking. Amen? This is a new way of thinking. So we can have a new way of living. So, if you're struggling and stuck in old patterns, number one, it doesn't mean you're hopeless. Somebody say amen. If you're stuck in some old patterns, it doesn't mean that, well, Jesus didn't help you like he did everybody else. If you're fighting through some old things and you're still struggling with some things that you think, I shouldn't be struggling with this anymore. Right? Is that just too real? Have you ever felt like you're still struggling with some things from your old life that by now you shouldn't be struggling with? Welcome to the club. Hey, isn't there freedom in that? Isn't there freedom in knowing? Didn't that make you feel a little bit better to know that everybody else in here agreed with that statement? Amen. Amen. Didn't that just make you feel a little bit better? Right? You're in good company. You're not alone in this thing. That's called human living. But if you want to walk out of that, if you're ready to live differently, you got to start thinking differently. And in order to think differently, you got to get into the Word and you got to learn truth. The truth is, Jesus is the way. The truth is, the more you dwell on the here, and I'll close with this. Jesus taught a parable. He was a teaching, and he said, "A man," and he just used an example, "a man that's demon possessed." And the demons cast out of that man. Okay? He says, then the demon, it goes around and it wanders in dry places, is what Jesus would say. And that house that it once lived in, they sweep it out and it's all cleaned out, but then nothing is ever done with it. Nothing is ever put in. And Jesus said, here's what happens. Nothing's ever done. And so eventually, that demon will come back and he'll find his old house, that old place he was, he'll find it swept and cleaned out. And nothing living in there. And he'll go invite seven more of his friends. And they'll come in. And the end state of that person is worse than the beginning state was. Why? Why? That person was freed. So how could that be? Because they didn't put anything new in what had been cleaned out. We need to start putting new truth into our lives. the Word, the truth of the Word. You need to think on the Word. The Bible says, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever, right? Amen? Just in case you don't believe me, I'll go read it for you. Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. You got to get this battle in your mind, and you got to win. You got to feed your mind just like you feed your body. You got to feed your mind the Word. And in order to think on those things, you got to speak those things. So you got to start talking differently. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But what gets into your heart has to come through the gateway of your mind. And so you got to hear the Word. You got to contemplate the Word, and then you got to speak the Word. Amen. The truth. The truth will set you free. And so the bridge between just the way, Jesus being the way, and the life he's prepared for you is found in the truth. And that starts with the battle of your mind. And your mind wants to drift. I said it Sunday, and I'll say it again. I tell people all the time, if you're struggling with insomnia, read the Word. Right? Because forever, I've had people tell me, and I've seen it myself, if I'm laying in the bed and I read the Bible, it's not long and I'll be asleep. Amen. The best thing to do is you need to get up out of bed to read the Bible. That's another thing that I'll tell you. Don't lay in the bed reading your Bible. You may be setting yourself up for failure there. But get in the Word. Know it. Study it. Rehearse it. Right? David would write, and he'd say, I bind your laws around my neck. Let them be in my heart. Let your Word be within me. Let them be a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my pathway. Burn your Word into my heart that I might not sin against you. So let's win the battle of our mind. Watch for mind drift. When you start seeing you start thinking, and you recognize you're drifting to old thought patterns, go to the Word. Let me help you. Let me give you something practical. Get you some go-to scriptures. Memorize them. Type them up. If you've got a smart device, put them in your phone under your notes section. Go in and type them in there. Put them in there. And then when you sense yourself drifting to old thought patterns, pull those things out and read them. Things that say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Things that say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Right? Get the Word and digest the Word. And when you feel your mind drifting, go to the Word. When you see yourself justifying and rationalizing things that are not in Scripture, get back to the Word. Know the truth. Determine I believe the truth, not just myself. Stabilize in the Word. Step out by faith. And reach out to others to join in the battle with you. Amen. When we gather for our epic meetings, Becky has told us her testimony. She'll share with us things, and there's truth that comes out of that then we can reach out to one another and we realize we're not alone. Amen. Stand your feet with me tonight. The battle of the mind. It's easy to come to life because Jesus paid that price and we just believe in him. But it becomes difficult to come out of the patterns of our former life. And so we need truth. Now, the next week, we're going to cover the battle of the flesh, and we're going to cover weapons of our spirit, and it's going to be a lot more exciting. But it will not be more vital than what we talked about tonight. Determine to change your thinking so you can change your living. Amen? We're going to pray.